The Blitz. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston. A Gau Media station. If you're not down with that, we got two words for you.
Are you ready?
Hey, you think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters.
Break it down! From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R. At AJ is the real. At Producer T. Scott today, because there is no Jong Lee. And no at Degenerates 975, because that's Jong also. You can also text the show, 713-780-3776. Missed the first hour, a lot of good stuff. Little web hit stuff, and countries we'd go to and wouldn't go to. And yeah, little sports, a lot of non-sports. And we also talked about the people filling in next week, and Holly says she's sorry she missed your call to fill in for me.
I don't work with females.
Okay,
that's I mean, no offense. It's just a bad. There's no way it'll end well for me.
Okay,
you know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel bad saying that, but yeah, I don't feel like I would do a good show with a lady.
I don't work with dumbs.
Okay.
I don't think that would work well for me.
Okay. I mean, that's a fair thing.
Yeah. So, Greg said, just read AJ's story to help his views. P.S. also threw in a couple backs and extra clicks on the article for him from Greg.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, we got to get him past intern Rachel, don't we? And it's all on Sports Map. Go check it out. It's UFC is more interesting than almost anything else on there today, in my opinion. It's Cyborg.
Yeah. It's not a very interesting card, though.
No, but don't tell him that. You want him to go click on your story.
Well, I mean,
you made the story interesting.
I tried my best to make it interesting.
Yeah.
I've got a couple plays left for the people.
Okay.
You're going to miss out. You'll have missed out on one of my plays that's already started in the Horizon Conference tournament. For those of you who are hoping to play Horizon Hoops today, you've already missed out on Green Bay and Detroit. But Green Bay's doing what they were supposed to do so far. I like UT Arlington -3.5 tonight.
Okay.
I was leaning towards Ohio State against Penn State, but I think it's going to end up being a pass. I'm going to take Missouri State again. I'm going to get back on that horse again last night since they did me right. I'll take them -2.5 against Southern Illinois. And I have Davidson -1.5. Against Rhode Island tonight. Rhode Island has nothing to play for, so I think they're just sort of chilling right now.
Okay, I actually do have a play for the people.
I knew you would.
How about Colorado -105 at home against Minnesota? Minnesota second of a back-to-back, which got us our over last night, even though people were giving up on it after two periods, which you can't do. But the Avs at home kind of need this one to stay in the playoff race, and Minnesota's second of a back-to-back with their backup goalie, not as good. Avs -105.
Okay.
Minnesota actually favored in that at -115. So that's my last play for a week. So good luck to everyone. We were talking about Saquon Barkley, and I don't know if you know this, but at least one scout says this guy's a generational talent, should go number one overall.
Oh, boy.
It's hard for me to look at a running back and say that.
I just can't do it. I can't do it. I can't use that pick on a running back who might have a five-year shelf life. You know, they just...
If that, man, they take such a beating. And, yeah, he's a physical specimen. What do you do, 4-4-1 in the 40?
Yeah.
4-4-1, and I think 29 times on the bench.
29
press.
Reps.
And he's not a small
Joe
dude.
Thomas did 28 reps.
Brady Quinn did 25.
So Saquon Barkley, stronger than Joe Thomas. Yeah, ran a faster 40 than Devin Hester. NFL Research is who tweeted this out. His 10-yard split was 1.54 seconds. DeSean Jackson's was 1.55. And his vertical, 41 inches. Julio Jones, 38 and a half. Like, this guy's a freak. But...
yeah, they were showing his 40, like, with a bunch of those guys, and it looked all blurred, and I hate when they do that. But that was impressive.
I mean, that's... Again, he's a running back, so I try to, like...
yeah.
Temper any feelings I might have about it.
Hey, I do have some good news, though. Sonny Michel did not run very fast today. That might
help
him
for the Texans.
Yeah, yeah, because I want that guy to slide. It was 4.55 or something. He didn't go that fast. I think he's been eating or something. That's what you want if you're a Texans fan. Trust me.
Trying to go back and like look at the last several drafts and the first running back off the board and where they are today. If you start in 2010, the first running back off the board, taken with the 9th pick, CJ Spiller to the lowly Buffalo Bills.
Okay, I'm going to say that one didn't work out.
I'm going to go, yeah, not...
I mean, he wasn't awful. I mean, he had some moments for the Bills, but not
in
worth
fact,
that.
I can just tell you first round running backs. Ryan Matthews was the second running back taken that year. He went 12th overall. Solid career.
Yeah. Nothing but spectacular.
I mean, now his career's done. You know, he's and the other running back that went in the first round that year, number 30 overall to the Lions, Jahvid Best. Not the best decision.
No.
Only one running back went in the first round in 2011, and that was Mark Ingram, who took a while to get it together, but still looks pretty good.
Yeah, I would say, especially for where he went, that's fine.
The next year, an Alabama running back was the first one taken again.
Not so good.
Trent Richardson, number 3 overall.
That was a fail.
That's not ideal.
God, what a waste of a third pick.
The other two running backs to go in the first round went 31 and 32 that year. Doug Martin went 31. And David Wilson went number 32 to the Giants.
Doug Martin wasn't bad for...
He wasn't bad, but he worth a first round pick?
Probably not.
That's basically how I gauge it. Like when you take a guy in the first round, that's like that guy's supposed. He's got to be like a cornerstone of your franchise. Yeah.
By the way, the people have moved you into second place now.
Thanks, people.
You're up to 7.46%.
See, they know shenanigans when they see it. They're not standing for that. No running backs taken in the first round in 2012. No, excuse me, 2013 or 2014. So I think that was kind of like a time where people were gun shy and more teams had the philosophy that I have.
Nobody wanted Trent Richardson.
And I don't know if there's any, you know, if you look back and say, oh, well, perhaps that was with good reason because the first running back to go, Bishop Sankey.
And you know what?
You loved him, didn't you?
I did, and I'll admit I was wrong because the reality is I'm usually pretty good at sniffing out running backs. That's why I'm all about that Sonny Michel this year. But I thought Bishop Sankey was going to be a player, and I sit corrected. I was wrong.
Yeah.
He was not good. In fact, he was – because in college, man, I really thought that guy – had the skills to go and be a successful player in the NFL. I sucked on that one.
You know who the best running back taken in that 2014 draft was? Devontae Freeman. You know where he went? 4th round.
Yeah.
That's why I mean, it's just...
Well, and that's the thing. Would I rather have Sonny Michel 3rd round or Saquon Barkley 1st pick overall?
That's where it comes into like, what do you prioritize?
Right, right.
2015, Melvin Gordon, the first back taken, went in the first round with the 15th pick.
Yeah.
One pick before Kevin Johnson from Wake Forest was taken by your Houston Texans. No other running backs taken in the first round. T.J. Yeldon was the next back off the board. He went in the second round. Amir Abdullah.
Another guy I thought might be okay and has never really developed.
No, also went in the second round. 2016, Zeke Elliott.
That worked out.
Number four overall. You have to think, so far, it looks like it was a pretty good decision.
Yeah, I think that one worked out.
And so, just because I'm right on a lot of these doesn't mean it's a flawless calculation that I wouldn't take these guys. But I also think the reason why they were able to use a first-round pick on a running back is because they had built up their offensive line with so much talent by drafting offensive linemen high for a long time that they were able to make use of that. If a regular Joe Blow team, like a bad team, drafts a running back in the first round with a high pick, good luck. It's not going to – having a running back is a nice thing to have once the rest of your football team looks pretty good. It's hard to build a football team around a running back in this day and age.
Agreed. I retweeted the Win a Bed from Fred promotion that we're doing now with Texas Mattress Makers.
Okay.
We're going to give you a chance to win a free Texas Mattress Makers bed.
Okay.
And basically
– you should have done – get in bed with Fred.
No, in fact, as a matter of fact, one of my friends, Eric, said as long as the bed doesn't come with Fred in it. No, I do not come with the bed. But basically, we just want you to sign up. And what we're going to do is we're going to go through and pick some people. You're going to get to come in studio with us. And Yuval is going to judge you as to who gets the bed.
Oh, okay.
So it's going to be a lot of fun. So I've tweeted that out. I've retweeted that link. I will not be in the bed. You will not be in bed with me. But there you go. 713-780-ESPN. Manny was asking us earlier, did we see the Michael Rappaport barstool thing?
Yeah.
I honestly think they're just – I kind of think it's a –
You think it's shtick?
Yeah, I think it's shtick. Yeah, but I would not want to be named Rappaport this week because between him and Ian Rappaport.
Yeah, they're catching it.
Yeah. So the Rappaport brothers, not so good.
I don't think they're brothers.
Well, you know, I'll say this about the Ian Rappaport thing. I've never seen him doing his bit on NFL Network and say, oh, I got to take this call.
It's true.
Have you ever seen that? I'm just curious. All right, quick break. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Clock and grab your jock.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
I don't know what you had in mind, but here we stand on opposing sides. Let's go to war.
Let's go to war.
From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. Happy Friday. And no, Jeff, the bed does not come with Beth. Stop.
Grow up.
Yeah, I saw Beth here today. It's win a bed from Fred. Not with Fred in it. Not with anybody else in it. You're going to win a bed from Texas Mattress Makers. And who would not want that? So
that'd be good.
Get on there, register. Well, you got one from Texas Mattress Makers. Badass. I got two. I love them. And when the wife gets pissed at me and kicks me out downstairs,
yeah,
like, fine.
I need that. I need a secondary bed.
Yeah, I'm like, fine. I'll just go downstairs. I got another bed from Texas Mattress Makers. I'm fine. I don't need you, woman. And that's why when I get kidnapped and they ask for $2 million, she's going to say, okay, sorry. Keep him. He's yours. About this Ian Rappaport thing. The only people who get on the phone that much must be Ian Rappaport and Lance. I wonder if they're talking together all the time. Because I see Lance when I'm
here.
He's
always on the phone.
Everybody else texts. Like, Schefter, when Schefter was I think he was doing our show at the Super Bowl, and he's sitting there getting texts, but he didn't stop and say, oh, I got to take this call. It's like, dude, I'll call you as soon as I'm done, or I'll text. Well, most people text.
But Lance's secret is different. He uses that speak to text. So if he's on his phone, talking,
he's usually texting.
He's using that to either tweet or text.
Ah, interesting.
Oh, Jermaine said that I missed Todd Gurley in 2015. I did somehow.
That's a pretty good miss.
Yeah, he's a good one.
Yeah, he's okay.
He's good at sport.
He's turned out all right.
He's the guy who's come out most recently that I've felt like that's a guy who's worth taking high. I liked him more than I liked Zeke Elliott.
Yeah, I remember you saying that. My only concern with him was the injuries, because, you know, he was coming off. He was pretty beat up in college, but he's been fine.
Yep.
And he's worked out. Rico says, so just to clarify, the Win Fred in bed contest will be at a later. No, there will be no winning me in any way, shape, or form. Nobody wants that. Trust me.
Some people want it.
No. Mm, no.
Brian wants it.
No. Would have to be female. And no, none of those want that.
God, you're so picky.
I'm sorry. Okay? I'm so gender specific when picky. It comes to who I'll get in bed with. Jeez. What's wrong with that? Okay. 5:22 p.m. So what caused that one?
I don't know. I had a smoothie.
Okay.
In fact, that smoothie is all I've had to eat today.
Really?
Yeah. I got to the gym at 9:30, and I left the gym at 1:30.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, but I had no food in between and no food before. So I got a Smoothie King smoothie, a meal replacement smoothie. And it kind of hit the spot. But I'm not sure why that happened.
Okay. I usually it's slammed an energy drink.
Yeah, or coffee. Had a beer. Whatever. Yeah, I drank last night. Yeah. I didn't even drink last night.
Interesting. So when you say you're not drinking except for one night and then on weekends, is that like Friday, Saturday night, or is that Friday, Saturday, Sunday
night? It's a Friday, Saturday, or Sunday.
Oh, okay. That makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm so pissed because...
So one day between Friday and Sunday, one day between Monday and Thursday.
Yeah, makes perfect sense.
And I'm trying to never go back to back.
It's a smart play.
Yeah.
I was so mad today. I went and met Jerome and... my friend Remy for lunch today. We got a little business to talk.
Speaking of Rappaport, Remy. That was Michael Rappaport's character in Higher Learning was named Remy.
Oh, really?
Do it now, Remy! Do it now! The Nazis were yelling at him. Yeah. They wanted him to start shooting the black guys.
But who was Ian Rappaport's character?
Ian Rappaport, not in Higher Learning.
Oh, he should have been. They're brothers, right? They're in everything together. And... like the bar next door is one of my favorite hangouts, and there was a big sign. They're having a pub crawl next Saturday, and it's like every single bar that I go to in Edo, I'm so pissed that I'm not going to be drinking. Sucks. People always have pub crawls when I'm on my non-drinking runs.
Sorry, man.
I know. Man, I don't know if you saw this story, but an appeals court in Colorado freed a man who had been sentenced to more than 300 years in prison for the violent sexual assault of 6 children after ruling that the man's right to a speedy trial had been violated. The old technicality. This is like the bad Law and Order episode where they let the guy out on a technicality. And he was convicted in 2015, and the decision to vacate the conviction was based on a delay caused by a request from his defense to make changes to a jury questionnaire. And although it was defendant's team that requested the changes, the appeals court ruled the delay couldn't be blamed on McFadden, and the state Supreme Court allowed the ruling to stand.
Wow.
That is like the worst ruling ever.
Well,
so you
want the good news?
You let a guy who's sexually abused, violent sexual assault of 6 children, gets to go on a technicality.
A vigilante's going to take care of that.
I think you're right. I bet
you. Are you pro or anti vigilante justice?
Depends. Is it Batman?
It could be a Batman-ish character.
I'm okay with Batman.
It's not really Batman because that's a made up character.
He's not real.
But he could be a guy who gets into a costume and finds people who do bad things and punishes them.
What about Daredevil?
Like the Punisher.
Or the Punisher.
The Punisher is probably the best example of vigilante justice because he's like, A, because Spider-Man and Batman don't like to kill the bad guys, the Punisher just, he kills them. He's like, okay, the courts aren't going to take care of this. I'm going to have to take this into my own hands and kill these people. And that's what he does. So would you be okay with a Punisher type taking care of that guy?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know who else could take care of him? Hector.
Yeah. Hector would be good too. Hector from Longmire.
Yeah.
Good Longmire reference, Fred.
Thank you.
I feel like
I'm through season two now.
I was going to say, I feel like that show is like, I don't know if it's popular enough that you could just throw it out there like that.
Yeah.
It's not like Game of Thrones level.
Right. Like I could say The Mountain. Right. Nobody would know.
Right. But that was good. I like that you threw that okay. in there.
Well, yeah, just a little, you know, trying to be a little more subtle. So I have to say that takes Colorado maybe down a peg in my state rankings.
Why?
Because if you're going to go let violent sex offenders walk.
I thought you meant, I was still on vigilante justice.
No, I'm okay with that.
I was like, Colorado doesn't allow vigilante justice? What's going on here? I didn't know.
I mean, I think it has to be the right vigilante. You have to have a costume. Or you have to be, you know, part of a TV show where you sort of have an honor to you, right? Like Hector kind of has a code. That's why I like him.
That's true.
Like he wouldn't kill that guy.
Hey, Tyler.
What's up?
I have 3 live reads for the whole day.
That is correct.
3. How are they all in a 19-minute span?
I don't know.
Our show lasts 3 hours.
I thought John made a mistake, and I'm like, hold on. So I had to check, and that is correct. They actually scheduled one of the last ones at 6:56, and he changed it.
Yeah, they want to be in that 6 o'clock hour because you're on SportsMap 94.1 also.
Good point.
Ooh, Boondock Saints. There's a good one. Boondock Saints would be good. That's who we need to send after this guy. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We come back.
Or Pennywise.
Yeah, Pennywise, is he a vigilante or is he just kind of a creepy clown?
He just kills people.
Yeah, I don't think that counts.
Yeah, there's no rhyme or reason.
There needs to be like a code to it.
Oh, he doesn't have a code.
Yeah. No. I mean, that's just murder for murder's sake. I'm against that. But
as long as he gets the right guy?
Yeah, but see, the problem is he's not going to get just the right guy. He's going to get 5 others while he's doing it.
That's true.
That's a negative. What if those people are innocent?
It's a risk.
Oh yeah,
it's a risk to be sure, but you've got to admit there's some merit to it. He'd be really good at killing him, and it would scare the guy really bad before he killed him.
Well, I don't need to worry about scaring him. I just need him taken care of. Pennywise. I'm sending the Boondock Saints.
That's half the. The Punisher is my guy. That's the guy I would send.
Or Hector, or somebody brought up Dexter. Dexter'd be a good guy to send as well.
Or Walter White.
Walter White is not really a vigilante, necessarily.
No,
I mean, he took care of some people, though.
Yeah, but that's not his. That's not his move.
No, that was about business.
Yeah, he's a businessman. Yeah. It's a businessman.
All right, quick break. We come back. RJ Bell joins us. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, and you know what that music means. Time for the founder of Pregame.com. You can follow him on Twitter, at RJ in Vegas. It is the legendary gambling guru of the universe, RJ Bell. What's going on, RJ?
There's still time to change the road you're on.
I kind of like the road I'm on. It's working for me.
No, the road you're on is it's a dead end.
They're all dead ends.
Yeah, everybody's. It's a dead end for all of us. It's that line from Fight Club on a long enough timeline, everyone's survival rate goes down to 0.
Yeah,
yeah. That's
so hard. Have some fried fruit, Fred. Forget about it.
Now I'm finally trying to get completely healthy here, and you guys are trying to put me off on death again. I mean, come on. So, hey, how much? Well, I guess you can't bet on the Academy Awards in Vegas, but you can bet on them online. And I know you're a big movie guy. Is there any value in any of the online odds for any of this stuff?
Well, you know, I love good trends, right?
Right.
Now, trends can be misused, right? Because you got to ask yourself, is it predictive? Is it still pertinent? A lot of questions, but we've got a 29-0 Oscar trend. Last 10 years, big six category. So what's the big six? Both acting, both actors, both actresses, that's four, and then best picture, best director.
Right.
10 years in the big six, there's been 29 favorites minus 500 or more. They're a perfect 29-0.
That's pretty good.
And this year, we've got five favorites minus 500 or more. Best actor, Gary Oldman, he's minus $2,500, $25 to win a dollar. Frances McDormand from Three Billboards is minus $1,500 for actress. Del Toro for The Shape of Water for director, minus $1,000. Rockwell is minus $900, best supporting actor. And Jenny for supporting actress, minus $800. So history says those babies... those five are near lock. Now, it's kind of interesting, right? The big six categories, everyone's going to be watching, but five out of six are near locks, so not a lot of suspense, you would think. But here's my betting advice. I'm not saying, oh, go lay the minus 900, because you just can't be sure if you're getting value, but don't go shopping for those underdogs. You might say, oh, wait, you know, Woody Harrelson seemed good. He's 40-1, best supporting actor. Yeah, but when you have a minus 900, those underdogs don't come in. And then there's a second trend, which is in those 10 years, the biggest underdog was 6-1. That's it. Biggest one. So if you say, I'm never going to buck a minus 500 or more favor, and I'm never going to take a greater than 6-1 underdog, it really helps narrow in. Now, obviously, at some point, a 7-1 dog is going to win. It's just, we've got a decade now of history telling us favorites tend to win. So this year, I think a lot of people might be looking for long shots that don't make a ton of sense considering that history. The one competitive category is best picture. But really, even amongst that, there's only two that meet the criteria. Three Billboards is even money. Shape of Water is plus 150. Every other movie is 12-1 or bigger payout, which, again, history says unlikely to happen.
So you're basically saying it's going to be one of those two for Best Picture, even though it seems, yes, competitive on the surface. Gotta,
yeah,
hope.
And, you know, to me, I like Billboards myself. I think Shape of Water is going to get so many of the more technical nominations Oscar victories, that at a certain point, you know, if a movie's like Titanic and it took over, people don't, you know, the voters don't mind, oh, nine Oscars or whatever. But Shape of Water is going to win a bunch anyway. I feel like that's the one they're going to say, okay, let's give it to something else. So if I had to make one bet, and this is what I gave on the Adam Carolla podcast that I do, is I gave Three Billboards as the one bet. I'm not sure I'm going to fire myself on that, but it's a strong lean.
But the World Series odds, your Dodgers are a slight favorite here, and Astros right up there with the Yankees. Is there any value in basically, let's say, all right, we're going to fade those three and look at a team like the Nationals? Is plus 800 worth it for them? The Indians at plus 850. Is that even enough, or should you just wait and hope one of those teams goes on a slump early and that number goes up?
So my Dodgers, where does that come from?
Ah, well, you're close to L.A. Yeah. you're well,
yeah,
yeah,
you're close enough. I visited L.A. one time. Okay, my Dodgers. No. You know, future odds to me this far ahead, if they're going to be holding your money for 9 months or whatever, 7 months, it's just, if you just think it's so juicy, go with it. But the bar to me is higher when they're going to hold your money for a long time. Now, if you're playing at a place you don't have to post up, yeah, you know, you lower the bar a little bit. Here's what I'll say about futures in general. And this is something I don't think we've ever discussed, and it's a powerful concept. If you are correct about a big long shot, as time passes, the odds are going to get improve. They're going to be upgraded for that team. So let's say right now you've got a team that you think is one of the five best baseball teams, but they've got the 20th best future odds. That's the time you play it now, because by the time we get to the midpoint of the season, if you're right, those odds are going to be so much upgraded, and thus you're getting worse payoff. And if you're wrong, well, you're going to lose anyway. Right? So the times that it matters, if you're right, it's better to bet early. So I tend, if it's a favor, to bet futures as late as possible. And if it's a big long shot, I tend to bet as early as possible, because the difference or the distance from where they're at to where they've got to get to win is so much bigger. And they would, I guess, travel that distance over the season. And thus that 20th team, for example, might have the seventh or eighth best odds come the playoffs. Well, I'd obviously rather play them at the 20th. So that is, I think, very good advice. If you're playing favorites, wait. If you love a big long shot, earlier is better.
That makes a ton of sense. We got some college basketball tournaments cranking up this weekend. The rest crank up next week.
Fred, real quick, yeah. Have you ever heard that before?
No, I haven't actually. But I.
So your whole life of gambling.
I bet it's come up before.
Nope.
But you know, I don't remember it I don't remember it recently. How's that? It's probably been a couple of years since we talked about it.
I'm not sure I've ever told you that one. It's a good one.
It is a good one.
I'm not holding back with you.
No, I know, but that was a good one.
I'm just giving it all to you.
Oh, okay. But I think
the audience is ready.
Yeah, I just don't have any long shots that are that big that I want to play right
well,
now.
Well, so that's the thing. It's rare, right?
Yeah.
By definition, it's unlikely.
I want to move on to college basketball, because with this investigation, how is that going to affect anything in terms of, from a handicapping perspective, do you look at any of these teams differently, or you know, because of the cloud hanging over them, or is it just really not that big of a deal?
I think this is a great teaching moment, actually, to talk about how the pros consider anytime there's uncertainty, because you've got to consider two factors as a gambler, which as a sports fan, you only got to consider one factor. Let's say Deshaun Watson, when he got hurt last year. As a sports fan, all you got to know is how impactful was that, right? And mighty impactful was the thought. Okay, correct thought, I think we now believe. The second question is, for the better, for the guy who wants to win, is how does that projected impact compare to the way the market has moved? So I'll give you an example. Imagine that Tom Brady gets hurt next year. And again, obviously not wishing it. And let's say the line is moved 9 points. And you look and say, wow, I think Brady's worth 7. Now, 7's one of the most valuable quarterbacks in the NFL. So you're not saying he's not very valuable in this hypothetical, but you don't think he's worth 9 points. So if the line was 9 before he's hurt, gets hurt in practice, it goes down to pick him, you might end up, in fact, you would probably end up betting the Patriots because Tom Brady got hurt. Now, that seems crazy to a non-gambler. So how impactful, how has the market accounted for this? I think the impact on the NCAA investigation is potentially twofold. One, I think, is going to be very modest, if anything, players missing games. And I think what we're seeing is we're not going to see the schools proactively do much. And I think that's probably smart, because they don't have to just deal with the NCAA. They may be dealing with the feds, and you just don't want to show weakness in that case. With the NCAA, you can placate them oftentimes and say, oh, look, we're policing ourselves. All right, so players missing, my best guess, very small factor. But the second factor is distraction. And I just imagine, guys, that you are someone that took a $50,000 payday, and you're one of the schools named, your school. You sleeping quite as good, right? You a little distracted?
Yeah.
For sure. So, to me, I don't know who's guilty and who's not, but what I know is if it's possible or likely a team is guilty, that team could be distracted, and I think that's meaningful. I think the market is pricing this just about right. With the teams right in front and center of this, there seems to be a small downgrade, but not that all that much. I will give you one exception that I'm looking to fade. Michigan State. Because I think Michigan State has not only the distraction of this, they have the distraction of the other controversy with the gymnast and the abuse. And there's a third factor against Michigan State. The NCAA would like nothing better than Michigan State losing in the second round. Because every round Michigan State wins is another chance for the mainstream media to talk about the gymnastics controversy. So what are they going to do? They're going to do what they do to the Wichita States of the world, probably, is my guess. They're going to see them a little worse than you think. If you noticed a couple weeks ago in the reveal, Michigan State was 11th. At the time, Vegas had them as the number one favorite to win the title, and the NCAA had them 11th. Come on.
If Michigan State wins the Big Ten tournament, it's going to be hard to have them as a 3 seed.
Yeah, maybe it's a 2, right? Or maybe it's a 1. But you know what? They're going to play a Kentucky in the second round. Remember what they did to Wichita?
Yeah.
Made them a 1, but lo and behold, it was Kentucky as an 8 yep. seed, right? And then what they'll figure out is what kind of team schematically they struggle with, and make sure they play that kind of team like 2 or 3 straight games if the brackets hold. I mean, AJ, you're a skeptic. I mean, you are not a conspiracy guy, but you're not afraid to say something's a little rigged, right?
Oh, yeah, I got no problem with that.
Do you doubt for a second the NCAA, for whatever financial reason, has their favorite?
Absolutely.
And they make it it easier for them?
And in most years, Michigan State's in that group of favorites. This year, they're not, though. I don't disagree with you.
Yeah, so I think there's 3 reasons. I mean, if you look at Izzo looks like it, remember in the Independence Day where the president was, you know, so upset that, you know, the whole world was getting took over? Izzo looks like the president in Independence Day, the age, his voice. I mean, he's under siege.
Yeah, but he's not a very good pilot from what I understand. RJ Bell is our guest. You can follow him on Twitter at RJ in Vegas. And I guess the combine going on, and you've got the number one pick odds here. Are those up in the casinos, or is that just online?
Again, online.
Okay, so
Vegas is good.
But how much of these move will these move after the combine? Like, especially after Saquon Barkley goes nuts today and puts up all these ridiculous numbers, is that something that you're going to see some change in immediately, or are we going to will it happen after the combine when stories start coming out? Will there be much movement here?
I think that the basic premise of odds is anything that's known is built in. So if you can predict that Barkley's going to, you know, break out or put up some good numbers, you would assume the odds are accounting for that possibility. I think surprises are what moves the odds. One thing I read recently that perked my ears a little bit was the Wyoming quarterback. Did you guys see this? They're saying he can throw 90 yards in the air.
Yeah, so could Jamarcus Russell, as I recall. But yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, but I mean, hey, just because Renardo Nehemiah was very fast back in the day and didn't make it doesn't mean speed doesn't, you know, count either. So I got a feeling the narrative with such a historically big arm. Now, he's not going to throw that distance, I guess, to his pro day. So to me, I think these quarterbacks are a lot like online dating. Now, I didn't prepare this. This is off the cuff. without a net. But online dating, and I've been married now for 9.5 years, so it's been a little while. But you would meet somebody, and you wouldn't know them, right? You would only see what they wanted to put forth, right? Initially, maybe by email, and then by phone, and then a first date or whatever. Okay. Well, we all know the people you like when you know them very well versus the people you like when you don't know them just a little. Well, it's tougher when you know them very well. And I think the analogy is the NBA European, the love of Europeans in the draft, right? You have some guy, you only have a YouTube video and they're playing against chairs or playing against people you don't know how tall they are. Oh, look, he just dunked. Oh, look. Oh, but
you better take that guy over Dwayne Wade.
Yeah, you see someone at, you know, Miami of, or where was he? Miami of Ohio? I can't remember. He was in the MAC, right? But Dwayne Wade, oh, you've got.
He was at Marquette. Yeah.
Oh, Marquette. I'm sorry. You've got all that game tape, and it's like, oh, look here. He was a little sloppy with the ball. So I think in Wyoming, and a guy like this that we don't know near as well as Darnold, those are the type of guys that tend to surge. So I wouldn't be surprised if it's a combination of the measurables with the arm, the combination of not being as familiar to us that Allen doesn't. He might be worth a little nibble at plus 650.
Wow. And people are in love with this guy. And I guess I didn't watch him play at Wyoming last year because he did not look good. I mean, he's one of those guys physically, yeah. He's like Mitch Trubisky from that perspective. He walks on the field, you're like, wow. And you watch him play, and you're like, okay. But they fall for these guys all the time, so.
Well, I mean, how would you say Carson Wentz, what was your take on Carson Wentz a couple years ago?
Kind of the same thing. I mean, I know he was a lot more mobile than Allen and a lot more accurate in college, but you never know how that jump is going to be from that level to the NFL. He certainly had all the tools when you looked at him. And, you know, this guy, the one thing I would say is he may have the tools, but he sure hasn't used them very well. And he's thrown a lot of picks. He hasn't been accurate, you know, under 60% completion. I'd like to see a little more than that out of a guy with that kind of talent.
You know what confuses me, though? I mean, I do genuinely consider you two to be sharp, both from a Vegas perspective and also just high IQ people. But almost every, I mean, you guys have been around the locker rooms in the NFL more than me. But wouldn't you agree that most, let's say, GMs are high IQ?
No.
So they're just stupid people.
I think there's some stupid people as GMs, yeah. And it's not always the GMs. A lot of times the owners have a lot to say. Do you think Jim Irsay is a smart man?
I think sometimes that GMs know more about numbers and don't necessarily know the basics about the sport that they work in. And I think sometimes that, like, it's not necessarily that they're dumb, but I know plenty, like, there's that clip of Jeopardy from a couple weeks ago where they asked them sports questions and, like, they all just stared blankly as none of them had any idea. Sometimes number crunchers, really smart, analytical people just don't have a basic understanding of things like sports.
Are you sub-tweeting like a GM from the Rockets by any chance?
I would never do that. But in all honesty, by now he's got like a basic understanding, but
understanding.
I think there's a lot of people that don't.
I also think there's guys that are afraid to color outside the box because the ones that do and fail, you know, if you go and you're going to gamble on a guy who's 6'5 and 220 and throws the ball 90 yards because that's the NFL prototype and you think you can develop him into something. Sometimes it's just arrogance. You think your coaches can turn this guy into a star. And the reality is, if he can't play, he can't play.
Last question for me, and this is a serious one. So on our podcast, we're doing an interview series. And our first interview was Oscar Goodman, the mayor of Las Vegas for 12 years. He was Tony Spilotro's attorney, who was the Joe Pesci character in Casino. And actually, Goodman did a Casino, not more than a cameo. He was in multiple scenes. And but our next interview, and we're releasing it Monday, is from the pro wrestling guys. There's a guy named Bruce Pritchard who does a huge podcast now, and that apparently it gets like 700,000 listens, a pro wrestling pod. So I had both the guys in. They were in Vegas, and I asked the question. I said, Bruce, do you think if you had the same money, could you compete with Vince McMahon, like with the alternative, you know, WWE competitor? Do you know as much? Are you that good? Because everyone's always saying, like, oh, if only the GM knew what I knew. So let me ask you guys a quick, serious question. If you guys were the GM of Team X, which sport would it be that you think you could do the best? And you two as co-GMs think you could be in the top half of that league?
Oh, for me, it'd be football, and yeah. If that was my job, and I feel pretty good that I'll be honest, at the risk of sounding arrogant, anything I've ever tried to do and put my mind to, I've succeeded at. I feel like I would succeed at that.
So you and AJ, co-GMs of the Texans, you guys would be a playoff team.
I think the roster would look a little better than it does now. I'll just say that. Yeah. I feel pretty confident about that.
At least you guys are willing to say it, right? A lot of people hint at it. You're saying
no.
It.
I'll come out and say it. I'm not embarrassed. I'm not. You know, that may be arrogant, but I feel pretty good about it. If that were my job, that roster would be a little stronger right now.
Would I have a luxury box?
Well, I don't
you
know.
Sit up in the GM's box with us.
Yeah. I don't know. Can we associate with known gamblers? I don't know if we can do
well,
that.
Well, you know, soon enough, it's all going to be a problem.
I hope so. All right, RJ. Great stuff as always, my friend, and look forward to talking to you again next week. And enjoy your weekend, man.
Thank you, guys. Bye-bye.
All right. That's RJ Bell. Come back. We got 1 hour
we'll
left.
Join up on the map.
Yeah, we're going to get some Sports Map 94.1 action going. And you're going to get to hear all of AJ's live reads. Hits the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Restaurant to go to?
Do you know where I could find an organic Vietnamese taco truck around here?
Visit culturemap.com to get the latest restaurant and bar news from Culture Map food editor Eric Sandler.